Amen. Amen. Bow your heads, please. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you humbly this morning, but boldly, Father God, to the throne of grace. You said to do that in time of need. And Father, we need a spirit of wisdom and understanding to rest upon us. So Father, I thank you, according to Isaiah 50, that my teaching and preaching, that you would give me a word in season, Father God, to them that are weary. A word in season, Heavenly Father. But also too that my teaching and preaching is not but enticing words of man's wisdom, but it is in demonstration and manifestation of your spirit and of power. And Father, I pray for New Day, but I also pray for right next door at Corona Friends and Pastor John Boss this morning, Father God. We pray for North Point, our friends right there to the east, Lord God, and Pastor John Sloan and his great congregation, Father. We pray for Pastor Jeremy this morning at Connection Church, dear Lord God. We pray for Pastor Ron, Heavenly Father, his first Sunday back in a couple of weeks, dear Lord God, from a mission trip, dear Lord God, down in New Hope. Bless these churches, Heavenly Father. Pour your spirit out upon Crossroads, upon South Hills Church, Father God. In fact, South Hills is celebrating 20 years today, Father God. Bless them to grow even more, Father God. We just thank you for the great work you're doing in Corona, in the Inland Empire, or throughout California and the world. We love you and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let all who agree with that say,
amen.
Amen. Repeat after me, please. Say, I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will connect.
I will be equipped.
I will be equipped.
And I will serve. Those are the four core values here at New Day. Today, we're going to continue with our series, Divine Protection. Say Divine Protection. And our scripture is Isaiah 54, verse 17. It's on your handout. And I'm reading from the King James Version of this, primarily because this is the version that most of us are familiar with. In fact, it says this, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Let me read that again. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Are you a servant?
Yes.
So this applies to you. That word heritage is the same as like a benefit. You guys have jobs. And one of the first things you ask for is, what is my salary? And number two, what are the benefits? Hallelujah. Now, here's the thing, because when we read this verse, and what the way we, especially if you come from Word of Faith or the, what do you call it, the prosperity movement, and what happens is you make this declaration really to remind yourself that when you're in the midst of something chaotic or confusing, that whatever's been formed against you will not prosper. I get it. I understand it. Cool. You know, decree and declare, you know, I know how that goes. Man. I decree and I declare no weapon formed against me will prosper. Great. I'm in agreement with you. But now let's flip it around. Sometimes you allow yourself to be the weapon formed against somebody else. Your marriage is in trouble. You're not feeling your wife. Got it. So you slide over here with, you know, Susie. You're a weapon formed against Susie. Susie ain't going to know Jesus through you. I was on staff at Zoe Christian Fellowship in Whittier with Pastor Ed Smith. I was on the staff from 06 to 09, 3 years. Well, what, 3-4 years I served there. And here come Bright Eye Tony with all his ideas. And we're having a meeting, and Pastor Ed, he's now Bishop Ed, but Pastor Ed had gone on sabbatical. And so we come up with these great ideas about how we're going to win souls. And we had a whole program developed. And when he came back, we presented it to him. Oh, we were so happy, so proud, proud, proud. And he's like, okay. You could tell he wasn't feeling it. So it was suggested, Brother Tony, why don't you go talk to him? I said, no. He made his decision. We're not going to do it. But it's a great program. I know. He made his decision. We're not going to do it. And someone said, oh, are you scared? That might have worked in the 8th grade when I was in Compton. I'm a grown man right now. I ain't scared of nobody. Because I can outrun most people, so I have no reason to be scared. Okay, let me be serious. But see, when you read the word, you begin to understand submission and authority. There is no such thing as submission until you're in disagreement. I've said that before, but let that settle in. So people say, I'm submitted to the leadership of Pastor Tony. We will see, because it's not true until you disagree with me. Now, some people came in, oh, they love the church. It was so warm in here. And as soon as I didn't do what they wanted, I don't trust him. It cracks me up to put one foot out in front, shoulders go back, and they do like, what is this? What is that? Why with the leg in front? What? I don't know, but. See, the thing about now what I would do, really with Bishop Ed, or Pastor Ed, when I wouldn't understand something, I would never publicly disagree. I would pull him aside, like especially after the staff meeting, it's like, the pastor, you going back to the office? Yeah, let me walk with you. And he knew then, okay, if Tony walking with me, he got some questions. And inevitably, one of the offices, we would pull in and just shut the door and say, hey, I don't get it. Help me understand your thinking and your reasoning behind this. And about 70% of the time, he would give me information I didn't have. And sometimes he would give me information I didn't have, and I still wouldn't agree with him. But when we came outside, I was in agreement with him and what he wanted. Because he was the man that God called to start Zoe Christian Fellowship with here, not Tony Dunn. And if you don't respect the man, and it really is the man of God and the calling on his life, you're going to reap what you sow. If you have a leadership tendency, in fact, everybody that's taken a Destined for Purpose course or you've done a DISC in one of the classes and you are a D, and you know you're a D, now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, somebody told you D, no, you know you're a D, can you stand up, please? If you're a D, just stand up. If you know you're a D. Put your hands up, Ron. Okay, yeah, all right. I'm on the D's. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, good. Okay, no, cool. Okay, no, I need y'all to stay standing. Okay, so now, here's the thing. Now, admit it. When you walk into any situation, any business, organization, church, or whatever, don't you see stuff wrong and know you can do something better? Autumn, you sit, don't you? Admit it, right? Yeah, okay, you do. Okay, cool. Now, the thing is that's our, we're born with that. We came with that. But if we don't learn to corral that, we can get in trouble with it. And you can stand up too, by the way. But anyway, you haven't taken it, but I know you are. Here he is. I know. I hang out with you. I know you. Okay, it's cool. Get it done. Make it happen. Oh, yeah. Can't nobody slow you down and nobody stop you. You know, okay, that's you, fella. Okay. So, your wife's not here either. Okay, I know she wanted to. Okay, so here's the thing, though. And see, it's a good thing to be a D because only 3% of the population are Ds. But we're the ones that get it done, make it happen, move forward. I'm going to tell you something, but here's the kicker. When you overextend that, it begins to work against you. And the reason we overextend it is often is if we don't get healed over our trauma, because this is for everybody, not just the D's. If you don't get healed over your trauma, you just become more of who you already are. So when you see a D that's this dictatorial and arrogant and won't listen and try to run everything and disruptive, it's rooted in some unhealthy, traumatic event in his childhood or her childhood. Yeah. So if you get healed, you can be a wonderful asset to the body of Christ. Yeah. And so that's why Jesus said, I came to heal the broken heart. That's the first step to you moving in a purpose. And the reason most of us get a position that can't nobody stand us is because we are unhealthy. Now, here's the thing, okay? So as I'm coming up, Pastor, as a D, I'm a D also. You put two Ds in a room, it's like two bulls in a pasture. It can work if you give them a big pasture. You can't. But see, when you're aware of that, then you can manage that because you can't manage what you're not aware of. And if you're not aware of your tendencies, you can't manage them and don't nobody like you. You're getting a job done, but people can't stand you. And so we have to learn to manage. Can we give the D's a hand, please? Yeah. Thank you, guys. Now, y'all can look at them and laugh at them all this, but you know what? If I had time, I would go through each other category. Because it ain't just the D's, okay? And I'm one, okay? The rest of you, you got some issues too. And if you don't get healed, you're going to get in trouble. I'm telling you, it's going to work against you. And you guys that don't know what I'm talking about, it's just your personality type. The enemy will use it against you. Especially, I want to show you right now in scripture. Let's jump into it, okay? So, here we go. Now, you're making this stuff up, okay? Turn your hand out over, please. We're going to talk about Moses and Korah. Moses and Korah. Now, here we go. I don't want you to be like Korah because he was a weapon formed against Moses. Now, let me give you a little backstory on this, okay? So, God told Abraham, Genesis 15, okay? Adam and Eve, got Adam and Eve, right? 10 generations later, Noah was born, okay? After the flood. Everybody with me, okay? Flood recedes, Noah and his sons repopulate the earth. Now, it was a man in modern-day Iraq. I ran that area. His name was Abram. God called him and said, I want to start something new with you. So from Abram, then he changed the name to Abraham. Abraham and Sarah had a son. It took like 25 years, but they had a son, a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. One of Jacob's sons was his brothers attacked him and then sold him into slavery. He went down to Egypt. Once he's in Egypt, he rose to preeminence and became the governor of all of Egypt. There was only one guy ahead of him, Pharaoh. You got to hear Elder Abraham's teaching leading from the second chair. We celebrate Joseph, but Joseph was the number two guy, okay? Amen? Daniel was the number two guy, okay? You can lead and still be under authority. That's a whole nother message, okay? In fact, we need to set you up to do that one Sunday, okay? So here's the thing. So Joseph rises to preeminence. He takes care of the economy because it was sucking at the time and a big famine and all that. And people come and then the Jews came. And before you know it, the Jews are running all four generations. They're running. There's a lot of them. Okay. So they're enslaved. The Pharaoh enslaved them. And God raises up Moses to bring them out of slavery. Now, what happens is that when we come out of slavery, there were slaves. It came out of Egypt, but Egypt did not come out of them. I ain't gonna make the statement because then I'll get emails from y'all. Okay. I will. Some of you put me right to the right as soon as service over. Just, you know, shake my head, Pastor, let me tell you, you gotta do that. So I'll just leave that alone. But it's the truth. So here's the thing, though. So they came, so a few million people come out. Moses is leading them. And they cross the Red Sea, as you know, and they're getting ready to go into Promised Land. And prior to them entering, Moses sends 12 spies in there. Well, 10 of them came back and said, we can't do it. Two said we could. And so God was bugged, angered, displeased. And so for the next 40 years, instead of entering the Promised Land, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Okay? Now, that was a guy, Korah, who was one of the leaders. He was irritated. Here we go. Okay? So, Numbers chapter 16, verse 1. One day Korah, the son of Izhar, a descendant of Kohath, the son of Levi. Remember, Levi was one of the Jacob's son of 12, okay? He conspired with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, from the tribe of Reuben. Okay, verse 2. They incited a rebellion. Now, a rebellion is just opposition to authority. Remember, no weapon formed against you will prosper, okay? Moses had a weapon formed against him. They incited a rebellion against Moses, along with 250 other leaders of the community. Watch this, all prominent members of the assembly. We about to have a church split, y'all. Okay, verse 3. They united against Moses and Aaron and said, you have gone too far. The whole community of Israel has been set apart by the Lord, and he is with all of us. What right do you have to act as though you are greater than the rest of the Lord's people? Now, when I'm reading scripture, I don't recall Moses ever feeling greater than anybody else. But it's their perception. And see, I'm going to tell you something. You got to watch your perception. You'll get distorted based on your emotions. We were talking yesterday, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You get emotional, it just jacks you up. And for us D's, our number one emotion is anger. Now, for some of you other people, you guys are more supporters and just kind and gentle and help everybody, you will never raise your voice, but you sure will drag your feet. Oh, you thought I was just going to talk about the D's today, huh? Pastor, I got your back. Pastor, my kid is sick. You knew your kid was sick on Friday. Why did you wait till Sunday morning to tell us? See, you can act up too, okay? But that's another. Okay, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Sometimes too, especially when I was talking about the D's, and this is even for myself, because I'm results oriented. And in my quest for results, sometimes it distorts my perception of what's going on. I miss the big picture of what God is doing because I make it all about me. Verse 4, when Moses heard what they were saying, he fell face down on the ground. Now, see, this encourages me, like Moses as a shepherd. You know, that's what I have to do as a pastor. I got to pray for people and intercede for people, even when they're acting off fool. Grown folks got mortgages, kids in college, they can still act like they're 7 years old. Master's degrees and three letters behind your name, and you can still act childlike. And my job, a mature pastor, is to pray and intercede for you. So if someone, and so hint, someone's coming against you, you need to fall on your face. Go before the Lord. You don't need to jump back. I'm going to give him peace of my mind. Hold on to all your mind. You only use 8% as it is. You need to keep all your mind. In Louisiana, we should say, I'm going to lay my religion down and pick it back up again. You better hold on to your religion. And okay, verse 5. Then he said to Korah and his followers, this is Moses speaking, tomorrow morning the Lord will show us who belongs to him and who is holy. The Lord will allow only those whom he selects to enter his own presence. Okay, and this is like it's on. That's why I got to make sure I'm with it. Because see, you know that program we wanted to do at Zoe? I think it was a great, wonderful program. And it eventually, I left. Two other pastors left, started churches. And it looked like, oh, Zoe is going down. You know Zoe has more members now than it had when I left. And the other pastors left. I went there last Sunday to train for the South Africa meeting, to train their missions team and all that. I walked through campus. I ain't know half the people. It's like, good Lord. Better leave. Okay, anyway, let's keep reading. Verse 6, Korah, you and all your followers must prepare your incense burners. 7, light fires in them tomorrow and burn incense before the Lord. Then we will see whom the Lord chooses as his holy ones. Now, here's the kicker, though. You Levites are the ones who have gone too far. Now, the Levites was basically like your ministers and your deacons, okay? I mean, that's a loose comparison there, but basically your ministers and your deacons. So if you can imagine, so all the ministers here at New Day, can you stand up, please? So Minister Tim, yeah, all you guys as ministers, stand up. Yeah, okay, all right. Okay, no, not the elders, you ministers. Yeah, you men. Okay, hallelujah. Okay, now I need the elders, you three, come here, please. Because in a minute, this is how it went down. It's basically going to be them against us. Because y'all represent Aaron, they represent the Levites, okay? Oh, the creators want to know who in charge, who's Korah. So she said, Tim. she threw you under the bus. Backed up and ran over you too, bro. Okay, all right, you guys can be seated, amen. All right, so Korah, he went and got everybody inside. You know how you do that. You begin to get allies, build your team up, okay? You Levites are the ones who have gone too far. Then Moses spoke again to Minister Tim. I'm sorry, spoke again to Korah. I'm just teasing. He says, now listen, you Levites. And verse 9 is so telling. It says, does it seem insignificant to you that the Lord, that the God of Israel has chosen you from among all the community of Israel, among all of New Day, to be near him so you can serve in the Lord's tabernacle and stand before the people to minister to them? Is that calling wasn't enough for you? Verse 10, Korah, he has already given this special ministry to you and your fellow Levites. Now you're demanding the eldership as well? Verse 11, the Lord is the one you and your followers are really revolting against. Because see, God had established this. God established his order. He does. He knew me before he formed me in my mother's womb. Before I came forth, all my days were numbered. The scripture says that. His gifts and callings are without repentance. He has purpose in what he's doing. He didn't choose me. I didn't choose him. He chose me and ordained me to go and bring forth fruit. That's what the word of God says. And you guys know this. None of you that knew me before starting New Day ever heard me say I was going to pastor a church. Never heard me say that. I never even thought that. It's God's idea. So any revolting, you're revolting against what God is doing. Verse 12. Then Moses summoned Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they replied, we refuse to come before you. They're like, we ain't even coming. Oh, y'all going to act like that, huh? Call a meeting to solve this. Y'all ain't going to come. Okay, fine, fine. Verse 13. Isn't it, and watch this, watch what they say. Isn't it enough that you brought us out of Egypt? They were slaves, right? A land flowing with milk and honey. Have you lost your mind? They were making you make bricks and then they took away your straw. They whipped you. And it's funny how we do that. For whatever reason, when it going gets tough, we want to shrink back. And all of a sudden, what was so bad now becomes so good. People left the South because it was so bad. They migrated to the West. And all of a sudden you get here and what do you want to do? I can't wait to go back home. Remember, girl, remember mama and them collard greens? Okay. A land flowing with milk and honey. Egypt was not flowing with milk and honey. You're talking about distortion, foggy memory. Oh, it was so good where we were. No, it wasn't. That's why when people come here, and we really only have one or two people, they try to bring from the old church what, you know, to here. Look, if your old church is so good, why did you leave? You know you can go back. That's why we call it a new day. I ain't mad at nobody, and I go and I glean, trust me. I pray for pastors. We collaborate. We exchange ideas and all that. I'm all down with that, but I got to do what God has called me to do, okay? Verse 14, what's more, you haven't brought us into another land flowing with milk and honey. What he hasn't done, okay? You haven't given us a new homeland with fields and vineyards. Here's the problem. You ain't hooked me up. It's all about me. I'm not having my needs met. And see, this is the truth. You let people talk long enough, the truth will come out. Are you trying to fool these men? We will not come. Then Moses became very angry. God bless him. I would have been angry long before this. Then Moses became very angry and said to the Lord, do not accept their grain offerings. I have not taken so much as a donkey from them. Now, this is so funny because I see people, we love to go to the pastors. Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting to be, oh, it's a movement. It's a movement, all right? All your money is moving into their bank account. I have not taken so much as a donkey from them, and I have never heard a single one of them. And Moses said to Korah, you and all your followers must come here tomorrow and present yourselves before the Lord. Aaron, the elders, will also be here. You and each of your 250 followers must prepare an incense burner and put incense on it so you can all present them before the Lord. Aaron will also bring his incense burner. So each of these men prepared an incense burner, lit the fire, and placed incense on it. Then they all stood at the entrance of the tabernacle with Moses and Aaron. Okay. Meanwhile, Korah had stirred up the entire community against Moses and Aaron. And they all gathered at the tabernacle entrance. Man, that must have been a sight. Then a glorious presence of the Lord appeared to the whole community. God showed up. Verse 20. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, get away. Why Moses and Aaron? Get away from all these people so that I may instantly destroy them. No weapon formed against Pastor Tony. And I'm going to make sure I'm not a weapon formed against somebody else. Verse 22, but Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground. I love Moses' attitude, and this encourages me to grow and mature as a pastor, as a shepherd, because we see here. He says, oh God, they pleaded, you are the God who gives breath to all creatures. Must you be angry with all the people when only one man sins? Moses is a good dude. Verse 23, and the Lord said to Moses, all right, fine, fine, fine. I ain't say that. That's me. Then tell all the people to get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abram. And here's your chance. Get away. Get away. You need to watch who you support. Watch who you back up. Watch who you're listening to. I'm telling you, watch who you align yourself with. Don't always do what's popular. Now, every one of you guys that are eyes and eyes influencers, you guys happy to be a part of everything, want to promote and sing and dance and always want to, you better watch it because y'all align yourself with the wrong people. What is the Lord saying? What is he doing? I don't care what everybody else is doing. party over here. It's happening over here. It's about to really jump off right now. God said, get away from them, okay? Verse 25. So Moses got up. And he rushed over to the tents of Dothan and Abram, followed by the elders of Israel. Quick, he told the people, get away from the tents of these wicked men and don't touch anything that belongs to them. Stay away from rebellious people. Stay away. They start talking and talking. I got to go. Because God's about to bust you. No. Don't touch anything that belongs to them. If you do, you will be destroyed for their sins. So all the people stood back from, everybody got back from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abram. Then Dathan and Abram came out and stood at the entrance of their tents. And this is where it gets sad. I told you this 2 weeks ago. Together with their wives and children and little ones. My wife and children will suffer based on my decisions. I'm the head of the house. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Could it be that Satan has gotten into so many of our kids because we've aligned ourselves with something that's out of order? True. I know a couple. Adultery was happening. And kids just out of order. When they got right, the kids just lined up. It was amazing how they shift. But see, we're so busy about us and our needs and how we want to be and what's important to us and what we feel. And we get some thinking that's skewed. The Bible says don't give place to the devil. And this is one of the ways we give place. So there are the wives and children and little ones. Watch this, 28. And Moses said, this is how you will know that the Lord has sent me to do all these things that I have done, for I have not done them on my own. If these men die a natural death, or if nothing unusual happens, then the Lord has not sent me. Okay? Verse 30. But if the Lord does something entirely new, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them and all their belongings, and they go down alive into the grave, then you will know that these men have shown contempt for the Lord. He had hardly finished speaking the words when the ground suddenly split open beneath them. Now, so when they asked me as Zoe to go talk to Bishop, this is a story that came to my mind. I ain't getting swallowed up. We ain't got to institute our evangelism program. That's fine. We're going to do whatever it is, Bishop. And it'd be different if he was doing something sinful or if he was out of order. Then, you know, you go and you talk to the guy, you know, and we have things in place now. If I ever act up, they have a list of people to call. They do. The elders do. If I'm not listening to them, to come and slap me around, work me over, get me in a corner. I'm not. They're going to beat me up. But to sit me down and talk to me. It's right there. And every one of you guys that join the church, Jack and I go through that new Discover New Day with you, and we tell you who they are. I know I'm about submission, okay? Verse 32. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed the men along with their households. And all their followers who were standing with them and everything they owned. If you want divine protection, you need to stay in the will of the Lord. You need to make sure that you are not a weapon formed against somebody else. 33, so they went down alive into the grave along with all their belongings. The earth closed over them and they all vanished from among the people of Israel. And all the people around them fled when they heard their screams. The earth will swallow us too, they cried. God wasn't finished. 35. Then fire blazed forth from the Lord and burned up the 250 men who were offering incense. So that little irritant, you can't submit, you kind of bothered. I think you need to rein that in. So it won't go your way. Get over yourself. Miriam, your little baby, Laura, she's two. So Laura was playing with my little granddaughter, Catalea. So last Sunday, I go and I'm on my way to something, and I stop to say hi to my grandbaby. She's there in the nursery. And your two-year-old has a little plastic block, and she's bouncing on a puzzle that Catalea's trying to put together. And Catalea swipes it and moves it. She keeps doing it, and Cadillac swipes it again. Finally, after the third time, Cadillac grabs the block from it and throws it across the room. And Cadillac takes the puzzle, and she keeps putting it together. And I said, Cadillac, Cadillac. And she heard me because she stopped for a second, and she kept playing. Cadillac. She just turned and looked at me like, and went back with a puzzle. Girl, if I didn't have to get over to this class, I would. Now, see, my wife done already spanked that little bottom, but that was about to be her first spanking from Grandpa, about to be her first one. See, I can understand it because Cadillac is 4. Y'all, that's 34 and 44 and 54 and 64. Bow your heads, please. Bow your heads, please. God in heaven, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it's alive, it's a living thing, and it will not return unto you void. Father, our prayer is that we will have the mind of Christ, dear Lord God. Father, we will get healed over our issues. And yes, Lord, so much happened to so many of us as young kids. Father, our parents did the best they could. Father, many of us just suffered at the hands of parents. We suffered at the hands of bullies. We suffered at the hands of teachers who were distraught themselves, dear Lord God. But Jesus, you said you came to heal the broken hearts. And I thank you, Heavenly Father. My prayer today is for healed hearts, Father God. Healed hearts. Healed hearts. So, Father, we would take our gifts and personality styles and our preferences, dear Lord God, and use them for your glory, dear Lord God. No longer using them for self-satisfaction and a need to fill some kind of void, dear Lord God. Father, I just thank you. Like the prodigal son, the word says he came to his senses, dear Lord God, that many of us would just come to our senses, Heavenly Father. And Lord, no longer leaning onto the traumatic things of the past, insecurities, doubt, fears, Heavenly Father, but that Jesus would reign supreme, dear Lord God, in our hearts and in our minds. That Jesus, Heavenly Father, would be our source. Jesus, Heavenly Father, would be our foundation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.